That's right. Good morning. It's so good to be here with you all this morning. Have fun, kiddos. Have fun out there. All right, grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4 with me. If we have not met, as Andrew said, my name is Sam Best. I am on staff as one of the pastors here at Antioch. I have the amazing privilege of overseeing discipleship and life group, which means I get to help people follow the Lord and do so alongside others, and it is very fun. Today, I'm sharing a message with you titled, God Makes Me Happy. Will you stand with me for the reading of the word? John chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and also his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for today. And thank you for this opportunity to testify of your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the living water, that we can taste and see and experience you. I pray that that would happen today by the grace of God. Amen. You may be seated. In 2009, I was a senior in high school. Some of you might think that is pretty young. Some of you might think that's pretty old. Just depends. I had grown up in the church, and being a Christian was synonymous with being a member of my family or community. I did have a moment where I remember turning and giving my life to the Lord, repenting and surrendering. I had that moment. I was 9 years old, praise the Lord. And yet when I got to high school, I realized that my life didn't look any different from the lives of those that I knew who weren't Christians. They weren't following Christ. They weren't trying to. They weren't in church every Sunday. I realized my life did not look any different from theirs. I dealt with the same sin that they dealt with. And I was making the same decisions they were making. The only difference is I was in church on Sunday mornings. And I had questions, just like they had. I had questions about why my life wasn't any different. I had questions about God. Questions like, is this it? Is this everything? Is this what it means to be a Christian? And because I wasn't finding answers to my questions, I did what all 17-year-olds do. I put those questions on the back burner and just tried to forget about them and move on with life. I thought I would get back to them at a later date and figure it out when I grew up. Only 17-year-olds do that, right? And I thought I was content to live this way, ignoring my biggest questions, life's biggest questions, and saying I was a Christian at the same time. But when I look back at that time, I said I was a Christian, but I would not have said particularly that God made me happy. One morning, a week or so before I was to graduate high school, even though I thought I was content to live this way, one day that all changed. I woke up that morning with some terrifying news that my mother had been rushed to the hospital in the night. And I came to learn in the following hours and days that while my father was away for work, my mother had some sort of choking or breathing accident. And while on the phone with emergency responders, she had passed out. And they traced the call and got to our house about 40 minutes after she had passed out. They revived a pulse and a breath, but a week of testing at the hospital determined that she had gone without oxygen for too long, and there was practically no hope of ever seeing brain activity again. They called it brain dead. And after learning this, I watched my dad make a decision to trust God, a decision that I can only describe as heroic. He decided that we were going to trust God because my mother wasn't coming back from this. God was asking my father to trust him because my mother's time was, in fact, at an end. And this was a week before I graduated high school. And taking this step of faith with my father was the hardest step of faith I've ever had to take, then or now. And I was truly tested in this time. And I became keenly aware that I didn't know God like I thought I did. My prayer in that season, almost instantly after my mother's death, became, God, if you're real, I have to know it. If you're real, I have to see. I have to know. And just a few short months after this, probably wasn't the wisest decision, but God was in it. I moved 3 hours away to a college town where I didn't know anybody. And my second Sunday in town, one of my roommates that I had been randomly placed with invited me to church. He didn't go to church necessarily, but he knew my story and he thought, you should go to church. So he looked one up and we went. I think he had heard about it through another friend, but we went to this church and that was only my second Sunday in town. And we go to this church and we're leaving church and I didn't really feel anything. I didn't experience anything. But while we were leaving, a couple of college-age girls met us at the door and invited us to a midweek service for students, like a midweek church service or something. I was so weirded out by that because church was on Sundays. That was all I experienced. But a cute girl was inviting me, so I went. And, you know, God wasn't necessarily making me happy in that season of life, but that girl did. So long story short, I married her. She's right here. My second Sunday in town, God knew what he was doing. But I went to this midweek service. It was on a Wednesday. I keep calling it a midweek service, but it was a life group. There was another church that had just planted in town. It was in Antioch. And they had planted just a few short weeks before I moved there. And I was really weirded out by this life group. I had never seen any adults worship and pray and read their Bible the way that these people did. There was already 20-something college-age students in this life group, and they really weirded me out, guys. I could see that they were either wildly out of their mind or they knew God in a way I didn't. Hands were raised in worship. That's not what I experienced growing up. Tears were shed while they were reading the Bible. I also never experienced that. And someone put their hand on me and prayed for me out loud. That was not what I experienced before. But I was in a desperate enough place to lean in and to ask them for proof and to show me. Like the woman at the well, I was curious about what I saw and heard. I don't remember what songs we sang during the worship time or what Bible verses we read, but what I do remember is at the very end of the life group, we broke up into small groups, and it was me and four other guys in a group. And the guy leading the group, he was in his late 20s. I thought he was ancient at the time. He was leading this small group, and he started talking about his relationship with God, and it floored me. He talked about how he could hear from God, how he could read God's word, and God would speak to him through it, how he would pray to God, have a conversation, basically, and how he was free of sin that as a young college student I was drowning in, and he had been free of for like 7 years. It blew my mind. And I was totally that guy in life group. I was super obnoxious and told him, I don't believe anything you're saying. I don't believe you. I've never seen this. This does not make sense to me. And in through all of my questions, he finally asked me a question. He said, do you want to see for yourself? I'm like, I think so. I'm super weirded out, but I think so. And he asked me, would you like to be prayed for and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I was like, I don't really know what that means, but I'm desperate enough to give it a try. He prayed for me. He laid his hand on me and prayed that I'd be filled with God's Spirit, and that God's Spirit would come upon me. And for the first time in my life, I felt God's presence like I had never felt before. It made sense. Everything made sense in that moment. And that night changed my life. In the days and weeks following, I literally watched him and other men follow Jesus. I came over to their house at 5 a.m. and watched them spend time with the Lord. That sounds really weird. They took me up on the invitation graciously. They thought, who is this weird guy? But I'm like, I have to see it. I want to know what you're doing. I came over and they showed me how to read the word. They showed me how to pray. They showed me how to listen to God through the scriptures. And that first semester was a doozy in school. I think I failed all but one class. But I learned to spend time with Jesus. So I count it as a win. That night and that season of life, that semester changed my life. My life was forever changed. So much so that I went home for Christmas break. I was in a much different place than the rest of my family, who was still, I was grieving, but they were still very much grieving. But I had experienced this living water. I had experienced joy. I had experienced peace. And I quickly found myself praying this new prayer when I was around my family over that Christmas break. I'd be praying, Lord, why me? Why me? My whole family is mourning. Why did you choose to reveal yourself to me in this way? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, because you asked for it. Why me? Because you asked for me to come. And I did. I learned in that season of life that God makes me happy. He really is good. He is real. He really does draw near to those who draw near to him. He really does love me. He really is a good father. And in him, we really can be satisfied. He is the living water. And since then, I've been on a journey of following him and loving him and enjoying him. And that season sparked my journey with him. And the years of following him have included marrying Sarah, moving here, having three boys, meeting most of you. And not everything in my life has made me happy. Not everything God has done or not done, or not everything he says or doesn't say always makes me happy. That's for sure. But I've learned and experienced that God himself really does make me happy. I do enjoy him. And over the past 18 months, I've been experiencing even more happiness and more joy with him, even more filling in the Lord than ever. And I want to share some of that and testify to God's goodness. And I want to share with you what is making me happy around church. I hope you remember Kirk Freeman from Kingdom Conference last year. And he's on the board of our church, and he pastors in Antioch down in San Antonio, Texas. And he has introduced me and us to what he calls the four discipleship experiences. Who's heard of that? Four discipleship experiences. We're going to put them up on the screen here. And these four discipleship experiences are just simple tools that we can utilize when we ourselves are trying to hear from and follow Jesus, but also when we can lead others in this. And Kirk introduced them to me. There's a whole wild story about where these came from and how he kind of developed these. I won't go into that today, but learning these four discipleship experiences have brought another layer for me, another level of God making me happy, both personally and as a pastor of this church. They have brought another layer of enjoying the Lord for me, and I believe for us. And I want to testify to that today. Simply put, they are a gift to the Lord to me. Now, if you notice them, these four things, listen to the Lord, talk to the Lord, listen to the Lord for others, and talk about the Lord to others. There's nothing special in these. They in of themselves are not any, they have no secret ingredient or anything. There's nothing different in them. You heard it in my story, I've always been trying to listen to and talk to the Lord. And I've always been trying to do that with others and share that with others. But these four experiences, God has used them to bring about a clarity to me and to us, I believe. And this clarity has brought me back to him in ways I didn't know I needed. Ways of enjoying him that I didn't realize I had drifted from. And for us, what I can observe in us is that this clarity is bringing us back to him and what he is saying and how we can enjoy a relationship with him. So I'm not going to teach through these four experiences today. I did that in a sermon last February and would love to talk with you sometime if you are interested in learning more about them. I just want to share some stories that really make me happy, what God has been doing in my life and in the life of the church, in us as we engage with these four experiences. So I'll kind of go through some testimonies now of how I've seen this and how I've observed this in myself and us. I'll kind of go through it by the experiences. So I'll lump the first two together, listening to and talking to the Lord. Personally, I've begun to refocus on what God is saying to me, which has been refreshing. And not the things that I think I need to hear him on, although I still take those to him, but what he wants to say to me has come into focus. I've been focusing on that. And I have enjoyed scripture on an entirely new level. I believe and experience more than ever that when I open his word and read it, I'm hearing from him. No matter when, no matter where I turn to in the Bible, I'm hearing from him when I read it. And that's refreshing. I've included and heard God on personal and family decisions and even work decisions. I have felt the freedom to enjoy God as Father. More than ever, laying aside perceived expectations that I think I have to accomplish before I can draw near to him. I'm experiencing more and more a sweet and enduring conversation with the Lord throughout my days, not just in designated hours or times, but throughout my days, I'm hearing the Lord, and that makes me happy. And seeing some of you put these things into practice, learning to listen to the Lord and talk to the Lord makes me happy. I meet with lots of you and have the amazing privilege of seeing many of you engage in these experiences too. I hear how more and more you're asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to know as I approach your word today or as I wake up this morning or as I pray for my children? And the Lord is speaking to you all. You're including him on your life decisions and in your families and some of these conversations that you need to have as parents. You're including the Lord and he's speaking to you. One story in particular that makes me really happy is a friend of mine sent me a text one day with some pictures, a screenshot of him watching through some video resources I've created on this. It's called Spending Time with Jesus podcast. And the Spending Time with Jesus podcast is just some episodes of examples of me walking people through how to listen to the Lord or talk to the Lord. And he sent me these pictures saying, I'm finding these really helpful. And I'm learning to listen to the Lord. And just on his own initiative, he found the video resource and started watching through it. He watched someone spend time with Jesus, and it started to change things for him. He's coming to the word more hungry and vibrant, and he's excited about it, and he is hearing from God more than ever. And he's enjoying it, which was new for him. That really makes me happy. Seeing our life groups utilize listening to the Lord and talking to the Lord has made me happy as well. Each week in what we call discussion and prayer time in our life groups, if you've never experienced this, you need to. But in this discussion or prayer time, what we're doing is we're considering together as a people, what is God saying to us individually and as a group, and how can we respond to it? In some weeks, we're actually spending time reading and listening to God, saying, God, what would you say to me tonight on this life group night? And then we're sharing and processing that out loud with one another. This is the norm, at least it is for my life group. I know that we are loving doing this. We're hearing from God on a weekly basis. We do this in specifically my life group. Our prayer times have been really sweet. They've been much sweeter in this way, where we are often praying for and hearing from the Lord for individuals in the life group and just sharing encouraging words to one another. And in this way, we've found like a newness to our prayer time. We're not just coming with all the list of things that we think we need prayer for, but we're hearing the Lord and letting the Lord guide our times. And he'll bring an encouraging word up for somebody, and we get to pray into that. We get to pray for people in that way. That really makes me happy. Seeing our weekly prayer gatherings, so we have early morning prayer two times a week, EMP, we like to call it. I'm trying to get that acronym being used more often, EMP, early morning prayer. We have that two times a week. We also have Jesus Hour once a week. And seeing these prayer times utilize these things, listen to the Lord and talk to the Lord, really makes me happy too. Our early morning prayer times, we're reading scripture and hearing from the Lord together and then responding by, what does that make us want to say to God? What is there something to be thankful for here? And then we're praying that together. And one story, I have a couple stories on this to share. One, a couple weeks ago, I got to be a part of one of the early morning prayer times. A group of us gathered, we read out of Psalm 16, and we just started hearing the Lord and praying together for one another and for our church. It was a really sweet time. But there was no, I got the privilege of leading that time. There was no prompt other than read this. What is God saying to you through it? And then just pray into that. And we spent a whole hour doing that. I didn't give any other prompts other than read this and pray through what God is saying to you, which is really fun. Another story from E&P is to share that it is recently one of the groups gathered, and there was a young lady in the group mentioning that the Lord was bringing to mind for her one of these low moments she had had during postpartum, and it just bringing to her mind like the Lord wanting to say something to her there. So she voiced that with the group. And she said, I think I'm hearing this. She got to voice that. And the group began to listen to the Lord for her and pray for her. And the Lord brought her to one specific moment where he wanted her to know, I was with you even in that low moment. And she got to out loud with the rest of the group, give that to the Lord, and then declare truth over herself alongside others. And what happened in that moment, God was speaking to her about a specific instance of that needed healing. And he brought healing to her heart and mind. In the context of an early morning prayer time where she was asked to listen to the Lord, what is he bringing to your mind? And this moment came to mind, and the Lord spoke to her. Yeah, I was holding the mic wrong, apparently. But the Antioch Discipleship School students are also putting some of this stuff into practice, and it makes me so happy. They are learning to listen to and talk to the Lord throughout their entire year. And I got to meet with them on their very first class of the year and walk them through and teach them on the four discipleship experiences. And we practiced it and we put it into practice. We heard the Lord together that day, which is kind of unique leading, 30-something people in that. But I had so much fun. The rest of the year, I've heard too many stories to count of how the discipleship school students are listening to the Lord in their own personal lives and hearing direction and wisdom on their personal everyday lives. Now, too many to list. I couldn't pick one to say that's the one I was going to share today. But find one of the discipleship school students and ask them. You'll be encouraged. It'll make you happy too. Seeing my children listen and talk to the Lord, it makes me really happy. Teaching my sons to hear from the Lord, to read his word, and then to talk to him. Specifically, my eldest son, Jude, who got baptized last week. Yeah, he's been learning to read his Bible on his own, and he can read now, praise God. But he's reading it, and he's asking this question, Lord, what do you want me to know through this? And then he's voicing that to me, and we get to work through. Yeah, that's what God sounds like. God is saying that to you through the scripture. That's becoming a norm in my household now, and that makes me happy. Seeing our children utilize this in A-Kids on Sunday mornings, they're listening to the Lord and talking to the Lord on a weekly basis, specifically the elementary small groups. If you serve in there, you know that every week they are doing this. They're reading scripture, hearing from, and then responding to the Lord every week, using listen to the Lord and talk to the Lord. And one story I heard recently was through the fifth grade girls' small group time. Their time's always a little scattered. I mean, it's a bunch of fifth grade girls. You know, they got a lot of things to talk about, catch up on. But they decided, okay, we're going to lean in. We're just going to give a few minutes of our time to listen to the Lord through what we're reading here today. And they began to hear from the Lord for one another and start praying for one another on what God was saying to them. And I was at a training recently where small group training where we're talking about this stuff, and this lady shared this moment. She was like, our small groups haven't been the same since we've started implementing this because they're excited to hear from God and pray for one another. I love that. That makes me happy. I also teach a class of 11th and 12th graders at a local Christian school, and I am having a blast teaching them these things. It's called spiritual development. What we basically do for an hour a week is we pray together. And we do listen to the Lord and talk to the Lord together. And I want to read you just briefly one of the some of my students' reflection papers I asked them to write. And the prompt was how listening to the Lord has impacted your spiritual development. One student wrote, listening to the Lord is where you use God's word to listen to God's voice. And then Practicing this in my life has helped me learn that God's word is always there, always relevant, and always offers comfort and wisdom to me, even when I cannot see it. I read a verse and I notice things that stand out, and I realize now this is God speaking to me. Another one wrote, learning to listen and talk to the Lord has helped me focus more on him and worry less, and focus less on myself, and has led me to actually hear from God this year. That makes me happy. Listening to the Lord for others is the next for discipleship experience. It's the next experience, listening to the Lord for others. So just like you're listening for yourself, but listening for others. Personally, I've been really encouraged. I've had a blast doing this, listening for others. I do this often on Sunday mornings during our worship time. I'll just ask the Lord. I'll pray this simple prayer that's called the Include Me prayer. Is, Lord, is there anything that you're doing in anyone else's life in this room that you want to include me in? And I'll pray that prayer. And then if someone comes to mind, I'll ask the Lord, okay, what are you wanting to say to them? What do you want to do? And I'll often have something and be able to go and share with one of you and then pray with you. I'll just submit the word and say, I think God is wanting to say this to you. And one cool story I have for that, I got this word. It was real abstract on one Sunday morning, and I had no idea what it meant. I delivered it to a friend of mine. I said, hey, I'm seeing this image, and I don't know what it's for, but I just believe God wants me to bring it to you. And he says, I was asking the Lord for that picture as confirmation for me to take a word to another person in the sanctuary. And I was like, great, go do it, I guess. I don't know. So he did, and that young man that he went and prayed for and talked with, they met up again during the week. It was a pretty significant word for that guy. But the guy in the middle needed confirmation, and I got to deliver that, which was so fun. That makes you really happy. I've also begun to pray this Include Me prayer on behalf of some of my neighbors and just saying, Lord, I know I've got some of these neighbors. How would you include me in what you're doing in their lives? And that led to, long story short, led to me sitting down with one of them for lunch and going into it knowing I'm about to share my story with them, the story that you just heard this morning. I know I'm going to. And one of the first questions the guy asked me is like, tell me how you became a priest and tell me your story. I was like, great, I'm going to tell you my story today. And that makes me happy. I've heard from some of you from time to time. I'll hear of some of you praying this Include Me prayer. Again, too many stories to tell on this, but I get to hear of people from Sunday mornings because you've prayed that prayer. And the Lord has put someone on your mind, even if you don't know their name, you'll go over to them and you'll pray for them. And I've heard of people invited to life group because of this, or prayed for it for the first time in their life, or taken to lunch even after service because you heard from God to be included in this person's life and you just went over and talked to them. And that makes me happy. And our children are listening to the Lord for others in Antioch Kids, but also just in here on Sundays during worship. One really fun story that, again, involves my family, but there was a pretty scary accident or moment in our family recently where our youngest had a choking accident and ambulance was called, the whole deal. It's kind of scary. And one Sunday morning, one of Jude's friends, Jude's my oldest, and one of his friends came over to him during worship and said, hey, I feel like the Lord is bringing that moment to mind and wants to say something to you. That friend was Atticus McGrath. If you know him, you love him. Atticus came over and said, hey, I think the Lord wants to say something to you about that moment. And so Jude and I then got to pray and talk about that moment. And we asked the Lord, Lord, is there anything you want to say to Jude about this? And the Lord was saying, I want to heal you from being afraid of this. And I learned in that moment that Jude thinks about that often. I had no idea. And as a parent, that really makes me happy that God would step in that way and say, your son is thinking about this often. He's scared. And I got to pray with Jude, and Jude got to be healed from thinking about that all the time and being so afraid, all because his friend heard something and brought it to him. Praise God. Yeah, that makes me really happy. Our discipleship school students do this too. They are listening to the Lord for other people. They're doing it often, maybe because they're being held accountable to do it, but they're doing it. They're praying for and hearing the Lord and then reaching out to others in their lives and sharing what God is saying to them, trying to teach them these four experiences too. And one story I know about this came from one of the students, one of the discipleship school students, reaching out to a family member and just saying, hey, you've come to my mind, and I know we haven't really talked about God at all, but you're on my heart now. And now they talk often about the Lord. And I don't know if this family member has come to know the Lord yet. Maybe he has, but he just, because the Lord put it on his heart, he reached out to him. Now there's a relationship. There's a bridge built. God is working in this man's life because of one of the students' faithfulness to hear God. And that makes me happy. He took the initiative. God wanted to include him in what he's doing. And he said, okay. And there's so many other stories there. That was one that I really loved. And then talking about the Lord to others. This is the last of the discipleship experiences. This is just, okay, now you've heard about somebody. Now you got to go talk to them about God. And I mentioned my neighbor before, but when I sat down with him that day and began to share my story, part of my story was I met a group of people that allowed me to ask my questions and that I had and allowed me to be open and honest with them. And this neighbor had never had that before. And he was telling me, I've been looking for believers who would let me just ask my questions and then meet me there. And I was like, hey, dude, I would love to do that with you. We also have this thing called Alpha coming up where you can literally ask your questions. And it didn't work out for him to come to Alpha this year, but he and I are continuing to meet to talk about that. And that I found it really easy to talk to him because the Lord had already said, I want to include you in what I'm doing in this guy's life. So just go talk to him. And it made a difference for him. And I've heard of many of you on this one too. One way I hear from some of you is on a weekly video call that I have. With Disciple Makers, this weekly video call. It's open to everybody. There's just a few of us on there right now. If you're interested, come see me after church and I'll give you the details. But we're meeting weekly to talk about who are the people in our lives we're teaching the four experiences to and how's that going and how can we pray for one another. And I hear from those on the call, they're considering who's in my life that needs to know about God. They need to know how to listen to and talk to the Lord. I know how to do that. How can I be used by God to teach them to do that? And that really makes me happy that there's some of us that are leaning into that and trying to take steps to teach others in that. That makes me happy. My students at the Classical Academy are doing this too. It's an assignment for them, but they have to find other students in the school to teach the four experiences to. And they're actively doing that. They're looking for these students, trying to sit down with them and walk them through, not just telling them, but showing them. Let's open our Bibles right now and let's actually listen to God. That makes me happy. I don't know about you, but all of this stuff I've shared today makes me happy. I know I just shared a ton of stories, but I shared it because it makes me happy. God makes me happy. And seeing God make others happy makes me happy. I'm happy. Along my journey, I have realized that my soul is longing to be filled. And I have realized the life-changing truth that God really is the only thing that fills my soul. I haven't learned that God makes my soul happy. I have learned that only God makes my soul happy. God is this river of living water. Having a soul filled with the life of God is not reserved for pastors or unique Christians. It is the basic promise of the Christian life and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come, all who are thirsty. Come, all who hunger. Eat and drink. To us Christians in the room today, is your soul satisfied in God? Does he make you happy? Does knowing him make you happy? Does participating in what he's doing make you happy? Does being close to him satisfy you even in the dark times, even when you're suffering? Does following him fill you even in those hard times and those hard places? To all of us, do you know that you can enjoy God? Because you can. Whoever drinks of this living water will never thirst again. I'm going to invite the band up, and I'm going to lead us. I've told you a lot about these experiences, but I want to show you. I want to lead you in experiencing the Lord by listening to him this morning. We're going to read John 4, 7 through 14 again. We're going to read it together. And this time, I want you to listen to the Lord as we read it. I'm going to read it out loud. You follow along and take note of anything that stands out to you as you read it. And then, after we're done reading it, we'll take a minute or so to be quiet. And as we're quiet, you'll sit and consider the things that stood out to you as we read it. And in so doing, you'll be listening to the Lord. So again, in review, I'll read it and you'll follow along. And as we read, you'll take note of anything that stands out to you. And then in our moment of silence, just 60 seconds or so, you'll consider and maybe even write down what stood out to you. This will be God speaking to you. I'm going to read it. John 4, starting in verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Take a minute now to consider what God is saying to you through these verses. In 2009, in the hardest season of my life, I moved to a town 3 hours away where I didn't know anybody, and yet God had a family waiting for me there, a family who showed me how to experience, follow, and enjoy the Lord. Maybe today, I or we can be that family that God has waiting for you. Come with us to the Lord. We have many ways that you can come with us. Come receive prayer this morning. Our prayer team, I'd love to invite you up now. Come and be prayed for. Maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come talk with someone in the Connect area after church today or any week after service. And we have some great resources for you. If you're interested, we can tell you about those in our Connect area. But come with us. Come spend time with Jesus. Come to Life Group. Come serve in Antioch Kids. Come to a weekly prayer gathering. Come on Sundays. Come participate in the mission of God with us. You'll find He's there. As brothers and sisters and children of God, let's come to the Father and enjoy Him together. I'm going to invite you all to stand and respond to the Lord with me now. Worship team's gonna lead us. If you need to come and get some prayer, please do so. Let's go to the Lord together.